Mike Ditka, also brought to you by our good friends at the University of Illinois Employees Credit Union, home of the official credit card of the U of I. Get your Illini Visa and support the Fighting Illini with every purchase. Log on to IlliniCard.org, IlliniCard.org. University of Illinois Employees Credit Union. Say hey to Susan Tolson if you see her around. 732, Mike and Johnny coming up.
We're Connect FM, 93.5, 95.3.
All right, it's Friday, ladies and gentlemen. I just saw John and Mike have joined us. Mike Ditka, that was one of the greatest baseball games in the history of the World Series I just saw.
Well, it really was. I mean, you talk about two teams, and it certainly looks like the Cardinals are a team of destiny. I mean, they just wouldn't, you can't count them out, and they just fought back. And Texas, I thought, was great. I mean, you know, I don't think the pitching on either side was what they hoped it would be, but I'll tell you what, those guys are good. It's truly amazing. And I had a feeling he was going to get a hit. I didn't think he was going to hit a home run.
Well, I'll tell you, you look up and down the lineup to look for the easy out, and I don't know on either team there just isn't one. I don't think they've got a pitcher that can shut those teams down. But it's fun to watch that kind of hitting.
Man, how good is Berkman playing on? Oh, it's my God.
Well,
I mean,
that's been all postseason. Fred. He, even when he was getting out, he was just ripping them right to, you know, maybe he'd go to the first baseman or second, but he's been hitting that ball.
So what a move Tony made when he moves him to clean up, and, you know, want to pitch around Albert, you're going to pitch to him.
Yeah, amazing. And then you have the fly ball mishap with Holiday, the drop pop fly from David Freese. You have this amazing resiliency, and I guess it just happens when you put together a bunch of guys that just don't put the bats down, and they just aren't going to quit on you. It's amazing.
Well, and you know, though, Mike, your team of destiny, I kind of got to go with you. The bunt, the pitcher's bunt, it just popped up over the third baseman. I don't know what you're going to do about that.
I agree with you there. I mean, but it is what it is. It goes both ways, and now you got Carpenter pitching tonight. I think if you're St. Louis, you got to like your situation regardless.
Well, it's hard for – of course, you saw the Rangers come back, even two down, and so and go ahead again when they were tied, and they won't quit either. But, boy, it's hard after this one. This was a tough one for them. And I'll tell you, Mike, I got to say, I think there were a lot of outfielders would have caught Freeze's ball in the one off the wall that Cruz didn't get to. I thought that was
well,
out.
Well, I think he misjudged it a little bit, and then by the time he got back to it, it was just over his head. I mean, you saw one earlier that was hit to right field that Berkman almost misjudged. He had a jump.
That's right. Yeah. No, that's right, Steve.
And does anybody catch the ball with two hands anymore? My gosh. Squeeze it.
Well, I don't know. If I'm complaining, I would squeeze everything I could to get to keep it in that glove.
Well, you know, Freeze had that one pop out.
Yeah,
And, you know, so it was, had everything. Game had everything. Is remind me of Illinois, Arizona somehow, Steve. It's like you just didn't want to give up, but it's like it looked pretty bad down to the last strike twice.
Now, that was a comparable kind of a situation where Arizona in the Final Four, going to the Final Four in 05, when our basketball team wouldn't quit, down 15 with four to play. And that's the kind of thing we just saw last night. And to think that the Cardinals, after those errors, after the frustrations of hitting the ball right at the defenders, and then we have 18 consecutive outs where the ball doesn't leave the infield, and you're still going to win the game?
You know, that's the base of all.
Wow.
Unreal.
That's persistence, to say one thing. Those guys are resilient, and they And, you know, it's got to be tough, but I think you pull the string. I mean, I didn't know if they had any people left on the play. They used just about everybody, both teams.
Yeah, they didn't
and
have
they were, yeah, yeah, that's what's fun when you're down to – it is fun, but it's kind of like, wow, I don't think they've got another batter. I think the bunter was – there wasn't any other choice. No. He had the bat.
And yet, I mean, if you look at that inning, they're faced with, you know, a guy like Descalzo and then Jay, who hadn't been hitting, and then the pitcher. It was going to be a pitcher because they didn't have anybody else, and it worked out to where they needed a bunt. And as you say, Johnny, the pop fly, that could have been a triple play if it catches.
Oh, I'm telling you. And of course, they played it like we played their guy, and it turned out to be a double play on a bunt. So
yeah,
it's remarkable. It's remarkable. And so Game 7, that place is going to be pretty exciting tonight at Busch Stadium, 705 Heard here.
Well, the energy in Game 7, and somebody was saying you don't want to play a Game 7 on the road, of course, but I'll tell you, you know, that's a good team we're playing. The Cards Rangers going to Game 7, I think that's worthy of the series. And I think, Mike, you know, the edge, I don't know what to tell you about this. I'm just going to watch the game.
I think with the pitching matchup, you got to like St. Louis a little bit. I mean, I don't know. The other kid's a good pitcher, but I think if you're in a situation like this, you'd like to have Carpenter on the mound, I would think.
And
now,
I think
because they've been beating these guys up pretty good.
I think Albert's due for another couple of hits anyway, and I think they're going to pitch to him. So we'll see. We'll just see. I love it.
It's just remarkable. Again, we'll have it on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM tonight. And, folks, this is unbelievable. 7:40.
What's the first pitch, Stevie?
7:05.
All right.
I think there'll be some people watching this thing. And, of course, Lonte's headed down there, Johnny. He's got the 4 tickets, so he'll be going.
Oh, that's great.
All right.
Keep an eye on it.
Yeah, let's check with Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8. Let's go to the NFL. A few games. We got the Saints in St. Louis. Johnny, our Saints are going to try and win on the road, and certainly it's a game they probably should win.
I think the way our offense played Sunday, I would expect them to beat St. Louis, who's struggling. Mike, I don't know. Is Bradford playing again? Because I
don't think he's playing, but I don't think it matters. I think the Saints will score in the 50s, 40s, 50s.
Wow.
I think they got an offense right now. They're clicking on all cylinders, and Sean is pushing all the right buttons, and Breeze is doing all the right things. And they've got weapons, and they can outscore people. Sometimes that is really good, because if you have a deficiency on defense and you can score points, that other team has to score points to catch up with you.
Well, and the offense it's an offensive game in the NFL these days, so that's you want to be able to just, like you say, out firepower them. I like putting Sean up there, just keep feeding them hot dogs. That's all he was doing the other night. Maybe that's it. You know, he's got that broken leg, and he was up in the booth.
Hey, listen, the key to a man's brain is through his stomach.
So he was up there. He hadn't done that before, and we scored 62, so I'm not sure we shouldn't try it again.
Hey, what's the best matchup probably is the New England at Pittsburgh, isn't it, Mike?
Well, it's a good matchup, and I mean, if you look at 6 out of the last 7, I think Patriots have won. Pittsburgh knows what they have to do. I don't know if they can do it. I mean, I look at the way that New England's going to spread them out. They're going to neutralize the effectiveness of that pass rush with those linebackers, because they're going to have to get into coverage. Now, I do believe that Pittsburgh can take advantage of New England's defense. I don't think their defense is very good, especially their secondary and their run defense, but in saying that, you know, you're going to have to score points. If you don't score in the 30s, you aren't going to beat the Pats.
How's the what's the Bear opponent? Do they play this week, Steve?
Well, they're off this week. This is their bye week.
I saw that.
Yeah. You got Atlanta.
I'll tell you what, the Bears are playing awfully good, guys. I mean, when you look at what they're doing, their run-pass ratio has gotten much better. They're playing well on the defensive side of the ball right now, and their special teams are outstanding, so. You know, they're a team to be reckoned with. And, you know, at this point last year, they were same record, 4-3. So I think they're 4-3, and I think they're playing better ball at this time than they were last year, and they won the division last year. So let's see what happens.
I tell you, too, here's an amazing stat. Miami, Indianapolis, Minnesota, St. Louis, 1-25.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to ask Mike, what do you do, Coach? 20 months ago, you're playing the Super Bowl favored, and now you can't. I don't know if they're even playing that hard on defense.
The
right
Colts
now.
Talking about Indianapolis.
I'm talking about Indianapolis.
John, I think you make a good point there. I think you got to look at what you how you built that football team out. If you're going to tell me taking one man off a football team can lead to that, then you really built it poorly. That's all I can say. I you know the talent may not be there, but I don't think the effort's there right now. I think these guys are they're looking for the exit.
And, well, it's tough to play at the level you need to play. I mean, you're still supposed to do it, but you're only human.
Yeah, but it's not tough to pick up the paycheck.
Well, that's right. So you're right.
Picking up the paycheck, you got to play to the level you're expected to play. I don't care if Peyton Manning was your quarterback or John Unitas. It doesn't much matter. Your responsibility and obligation is to play your position as good as you can and enhance the chance of your team to win a football game. I don't see that happening.
Well, and Peyton Manning doesn't play defense either, Mike, right? I mean,
I know 62 is a pretty good number.
Wow.
Well, you know, they've got to beat their guy, like Mike's saying, and just do their job, and then that's all they can do. But you got to go 105%, and I don't know about whether – because the Saints wanted to stop scoring with 40-something points. And
they didn't try to score.
Yeah. We were just running, and we just ran.
Yeah, amazing. All right,
running. All of a sudden you're running, you fell in, running into the goalpost. It's a touchdown.
Hey, and Mike, everybody's talking about Andrew Luck from Stanford. The NFL teams don't think like that. The players certainly don't say, gosh, if we keep losing, we get Andrew Luck from Stanford. They don't. Maybe the front office has a thought, but not the players or the coaches, do they?
No, they don't, really. They don't. And I think this is something this thing sucks for Luck, I think, is ridiculous. But somebody's going to end up with the kid, and the kid's a good football player. There's no question about it. He's a smart young man. He's a good football. But then again, you know, guys, there are no guarantees. I want to tell you there are no guarantees. I don't care where you pick the person, first or 15th or in the sixth round. You know, this kid, I would say, is, kind of a 95% guy. Well, I mean, the chances of him being successful are really great because he's a smart individual who makes great decisions, has got a great arm. You know, you got all the qualities you want. Now, if I was him, I'd be hesitant to want to go to some of these teams. St. Louis, I don't think that's going to happen because of the guy there already. I don't know what they're going to do. If he were to go to Baltimore or Indianapolis, they would have to make, they would have to do something there. I don't know what it would be. Yeah. I don't see that really happening either. I think it'll all work out to where he ends up.
All right, NBA, no negotiation. The negotiation is going on with the NBA. No agreement. 7-hour session yesterday. And again, not a lot of people are noticing. There are some, of course, the peripheral businesses that aren't selling things. That's got to hurt some businesses, no question. I wonder if the NBA is going to have a season.
Well, I just saw something there where the player representative, Billy Hunter, said that a new contract was imminent. Whatever that means. But anyway, you know what? But I mean, I really haven't heard a lot of people talk about it. I don't see too many people really up in arms about it. I think it's a shame because of the other people that are unemployed in stadiums and arenas around the country, in food service and everything like that. But other than that, these guys, they have to understand a lot of these owners aren't making any money. Maybe they have money, but they aren't making any money on this investment. So if they're not, it's hard to keep pouring good money after bad.
And I think
I think, Steve, too, the NBA, one of their problems is I've always thought they were oversold. And okay, 180 baseball games is a lot, but at least the players seem to be able to play 180 games. You can't play 82 basketball games. You've got to coast and you got to throttle back. That's too many NBA games, and they got to save themselves for the playoffs. And and you have 41 home games if you're a ticket holder like we are. I can't deal with 40 home games, Steve. And so that's one of the problems they have. And then the players do have a huge amount of clout, power, and percentage. And Mike's right, Steve. If the owners aren't going to make any money, they like the game. It's a sport, but they want to make money on their investment. And if they're not going to do it, they're going to just move on.
Well, part of the philosophy is, hey, you have all this money. You're being a tightwad. No, this investment's a bad investment. Why would I pour good money after bad? Well, you've got all this money. Well, you're a billionaire. You shouldn't care.
Well, I mean, common sense got to prevail. I mean, and that's why they have so many games, because they have so many games to get the gate, get the TV receipts, reset seats, so they can pay these guys. I mean, these salaries are pretty big guys. I know they only have a few players on a team, whether they're 14 or 15, but still, when you start looking at the salaries of some of these guys, you're talking about big-time home run hitters.
All right, when we come back after our break, we'll ask Johnny and Mike about politics, the GOP race, and what did I see about Hillary Clinton? I'll tell you all about that coming up in just a moment. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Stevie J. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka join us Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8. Hey, don't forget, Monday morning, shortly after 7, I will have a major radio announcement, as you'll want to hear. Monday morning, 7:05, major radio announcement. And I hope I'm basking in a World Series championship for the St. Louis Cardinals. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, Hall of Famer and member of the National Academy of Sciences. That's who our two are every Monday and Friday, 7:30 to 8. Mike Ditka, all-around great guy, will be in town 2 weeks from tonight, Johnny. Mike will be here two weeks from tonight.
They're excited about that.
Well, it's the Mega Sports Benefit 8th Annual. It'll be Jim McMahon and Mike Ditka. That'll be fun, Mike, with you and the punky QB.
Well, you know, I think the people will enjoy it. I mean, Jim is pretty interesting, believe me. And he didn't hold back too much. You get the whole repertoire.
This will be, again, 2 weeks from tonight, November 11th, 2011, at 6 o'clock, iHotel and Conference Center. If there are tickets remaining, you can get them with Mike at Mike Namoff, 202-2821, 202-2821. All right. Latest polling shows Herman Cain is holding the lead over Mitt Romney. John, what's your take on that?
Well, I think Cain just straightforward. He's hitting a real kind of a nerve, and he's standing up for what he says. You know, a lot of people get a flurry of kind of criticism, questions, and they start backing off. And Herman's kind of been very, very, I guess, steadfast in what he's saying. And people like the honesty, and he really, you can tell, is not a professional politician. People kind of like that. I'm not sure that we don't need a little bit of politics or political acumen. So, yeah, I like him. I think he's got traction, made another level, and I think it's still all up for grabs. I think you might see a little more out of Perry. I don't know. I don't think he's finished right now. And then I still think Newt Gingrich is moving up slowly. So my new thought is, yeah, Rick Perry might not be quite out yet.
Well, I kind of believe what you believe, but Herman Cain is not complex, and he doesn't try to be complex, so he doesn't try to get elaborate in the way he explains what his policies are, and it's pretty simple for the American people to understand, and that's pretty good, because if it's simple, at least that it has a chance of being able to work. When they're very complex, chances are they have no chance to work. And I think that's what we're seeing out of our government. And I think anybody that goes in the government and says, okay, we're going to cut back on the regulation, we're going to cut back on government spending, this and that. I think you got a chance, guys, because we're spiraling out of control right now. And you can talk about Greece and France and Germany, but this is getting a little crazy.
Now, I don't know if it means anything. John, I don't know if it means anything. Hillary Clinton, if she were factored in as the nominee for the Democrats, she blows everybody out of the water to tantalize the Democrats that are talking behind the president's back, thinking they ought to go get Hillary.
Well, and we've seen Perry was blowing everybody away when he wasn't in, and
yeah,
Christie was blowing. It doesn't mean a thing. And furthermore, and the Democrats have got Barack Obama, and that's their candidate, and that they can work that issue because that's who they're going with. But I got to tell you, Mike's right about being simple, but also along with that simplicity comes a straightforwardness without the hedging and the duplicity. It's just, here's the deal, and Herman Cain's making a straight connection, and we don't hear the double talk. And, boy, people like that because we're so tired of it.
Yep.
Barack Obama, let's exhibit A. He'll say one thing, do another, then explain why, and then it's like, well, wait a minute, that sounded good too, but dang, it didn't happen.
Mm.
And it's like, let's get someone just straight talking. Here's what we're going to do, and it is simple. And there's no wiggle room either. So people like that.
Could Herman Cain?
Well, the guy's pretty smart now. You know, you go after a certain segment of the vote, and you start forgiving college loans and this and that. These young people, like, you know, he got more of them anyways, but he'll get more of them that way. So I'm sure it's kind of interesting to me. I thought that part of the maturing in our society was that when you have a responsibility, you fulfill it. And, you know, therefore, if you have an obligation to repay a debt, you pay it.
The problem with
old-fashioned stuff.
No, it's not, Mike, and I'm not sure how smart that is, because a lot of college kids still believe that, and I don't know how popular that really is. That's a pretty overt effort at buying votes, in my opinion.
Well, I think so, too.
And I don't know if that's going to play. I don't know how many people appreciate, don't worry about paying that back.
Yeah, right.
You deserve that money you borrowed for your psychology degree or whatever. And listen, I think everyone deserves an opportunity, or at least we'd like to give everyone an opportunity, but they need to pay back what they borrow.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how much traction old Brock's going to get with that kind of stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah.
So,
well, I tell you what, it's certainly interesting. Can Herman Cain beat Barack Obama if that were to come to pass?
Oh, I think he'd win, Steve. That's
really?
What I'm saying. Yeah. But, you know, Mike, that's where the not being a politician can hurt you, because it's a political game. And can you win a national election first time out? Well, you've got to get the right people around you. That's what he says he's going to do as president, and that will be his test. If he makes it through, he'll probably be fine as president.
Well, James Carville said he's not going to win anything. He's a salesman. He's not going to win anything. James Carville.
Well, maybe he needs to hire James, because James does know the political territory.
He's really a dandy. He's a crybaby. You know, you get those crybabies, they make a lot of noise, don't make a lot of sense. I listened to him the other night, and he just went on and on and on arguing, trying to shoot down every point everybody made, and his points had no substance. I mean, it's fine. I mean, I understand supporting your candidate and supporting your party, but somewhere your common sense has got to step into the equation.
Guys, we've got to leave it there. Mike, be careful going east. It looks like there's some snow headed toward the northeast this weekend.
I'll be ready for it, guys.
We'll be watching, and we'll be reconvening Monday morning, hopefully talking about the Cardinals World Championship. Johnny, thank you. Mike, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you.
All right, guys. God bless.
Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, always Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. More on the Cardinals coming up. Stand by. I'm Stevie J. Fox News is next.